So here in Zechariah, we'll start in verse 11 of chapter 11. And you'll see right away this prophecy is about our Savior. So Zechariah 11:11, it was broken in that day, and so the poor of the flock that waited upon me knew that it was the word of the Lord. And I said unto him, if you think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter a goodly price that I was prized at of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. So give me my price. Let's pray. Lord, as we contemplate this prophecy tonight and what it means, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts through it. You would guide us and you would be pleased and glorified. Lord, we just want to honor you with our lives, with our attention to your word. And we give you this service. We love you in Christ's name. Amen. Give me my price. I'm sure that when the Jews read the book of Zechariah, they wouldn't have had a clue what this was talking about. But we sure do, don't we? Especially when we read about the 30 pieces. So let's see it in the New Testament. Go to Matthew chapter 26. And let's see the fulfillment of this prophecy in Matthew 26 and 27. So in Matthew 26, look at verse 14 if you would. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, what will you give me, and I will deliver him unto you? And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. I understand that the possibilities of Zechariah getting the exact amount are pretty much impossible. Amen? But with God, time means nothing, and all things are possible. So it's just more proof that this book is supernatural, that 500 years before the event, Zechariah could predict the exact amount that Jesus would be betrayed for. Then over in chapter 27, verse 3, then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful for to put them into the treasury, because it is the price of blood. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Can you believe the hypocrisy? On the one hand, they're betraying the Lord Jesus Christ, who had never done anything wrong. But then they are concerned about what they're going to do with this betrayal money. They're the ones who paid for the betrayal, but they won't take the money back because, well, it can't go into the treasury. That's not lawful. And so they went and bought the potter's field. So this prophecy here in Zechariah covers both things, the 30 pieces of silver that Jesus would be betrayed for, and the what they did with the 30 pieces of silver, which was to buy the potter's field, which isn't that what most places call the field now, that you put people in that you don't know who they are, they don't have any family, nobody to bury them. It's often called the potter's field. That's what they often call that cemetery. And that comes from God's word. Let's look at another one, Luke chapter 22. And verse 48, the Bible says, but Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? This is when Judas brought the soldiers into the garden while Jesus was there praying. And he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, whomsoever I shall kiss, that's the one. And we know the story. But also we read here what Judas did afterward. And even Jesus said, woe unto him by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Jesus only had 12 disciples and one of them betrayed him. Amazing when you think about it, isn't it? He didn't have 100 disciples or 200 disciples. He had 12. And one of them betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says he went into his own place. I don't think that's heaven. And he hung himself, and the money was used to buy the potter's field. But this question, give me my, or this statement, give me my price. What is the price? What a question, but think about it. And let's look in Revelation 5 and get an answer to this question, because we all need to stop and reflect on the question. You know, to the Pharisees, it was worth 30 pieces of silver to betray Jesus. Judas saw that as a large amount of money and thought it was worth it to betray his Lord and his mentor. But what is Jesus worth to us? And should that worth not be reflected in how we treat Christ? Amen? So in here, Revelation 5:12, this is what we'll be shouting in heaven, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Amen? To receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. That's the worth of Jesus. It's infinite because he's God. But for you and I, if you go to 1 Peter 2:7, God wants us to always, as his children, as his blood-bought children, to look at Jesus Christ as extremely precious to us. The word often used here for something that can't be valued is what? What do you say when you can't, when something is so valuable that you can't even put a value on it? Priceless. That's Jesus, amen? He's priceless. 1 Peter 2:7, it says, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Isn't that good? Jesus Christ should be precious to us to the point that there is no value that we could ever place on him. And that preciousness should be, again, reflected in how we treat him, how much time we spend with him, how obedient we choose to be to him, and so forth. And we'll talk more about that later. But let's go back there to verse 13 of our passage. So, what is my price? Well, in this case, it was 30 pieces of silver. But in verse 13, the Lord said, cast it unto the potter. And sure enough, they used the money to buy the potter's field and had this attitude of, well, it's the price of blood. And if it's the price of blood, surely we can't put it back into the treasury. So we'll buy a cemetery for the ones who don't have anybody to claim the body. And yet, how often do Christians essentially treat Christ the same when they deny him? Let's look in Matthew chapter 10, if we could, and verse 33. And over the centuries, over the years, how many times have Christians denied Jesus, either through their words or even their behavior, like we saw this morning, where Peter denied the Lord three times. He had opportunity to stand up and say, yes, I am one of his disciples. Instead, he said, I don't know this man. Matthew 10:33, whosoever shall deny me before men, him when I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Well, that's not much worth, is it? If we're going to deny him, what are we saying? That he's definitely not precious. He's definitely not priceless if we're going to deny him. And then Mark 8:38. Let's look at another one. Mark 8:38. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. What a sobering thought. We should never, ever be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul had this attitude. Go to Romans 1:16. Romans chapter 1:16. And this should be our attitude as well, as we reflect on Judas being willing to deny Christ and betray Christ for 30 pieces of silver. What is he worth to us? And again, that worth should be reflected. So Paul said here in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Amen? I'm not ashamed. And in 2 Timothy 1:8, he says, be not thou therefore ashamed. So if Christ is truly precious, is he precious enough for our devotion? Is he precious enough for us to serve him? Is he precious enough for us to obey his commandments? He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Is he precious enough for us to tell others about him, to see how this should work? And so as we reflect on this prophecy here from Zechariah, from Judas's betrayal, it just reminds us, you know, I'm sure it's easy for us to sit and say, well, I would never do what Judas did. Just like we might have said this morning, I would never do what Peter did. But let's face it, we're all weak. And we can all stumble and we can all fall. And the worth of Jesus Christ should be obvious to everyone around us. Amen? Because we love to spend time with him. As it says in Psalm 42, my heart panteth after thee as the hart panteth after the water brooks. I love to be with him. I love to be in his word. I love to serve him. I love to go to his church. I love to tell others about him. Why? Well, because he's everything. As the hymn says, he's everything to me. He wasn't everything to Judas. Think about it. Judas spent 3 years with the Lord Jesus Christ, over 3 years with Christ. Never saw him lose his temper. Never saw him make a mistake. Never saw him sin. Only saw him show love and compassion and a servant's heart. And he still betrayed him. Amazing, isn't it? And we're going to get to the kingdom and be amazed again, aren't we? So we're going to go through 1,000 years of paradise and get to the end, and an innumerable multitude of human beings is going to rebel against Jesus Christ after living under his perfect rule and reign. No blackberries, no Barbary. Can you even imagine how wonderful that would be? And no animals to be afraid of. Perfect peace. People living long again. We live forever, but people, human beings, having long life again. Everything will be perfect. And we're going to get to the end of that, and man's going to rebel. And it just shows the heart of man. Should also remind us how blessed we are that we found Christ. Amen? And so, rather than look at Judas and say, what a horrible person, much better to say, Lord, help me never to be a Judas. Amen? Help me to never deny you. Help me to never be ashamed of you. Help me never to betray you, but to always show my complete love and devotion through my actions, through my words. And when Jesus says, give me my price, I think he asks us the same question. What is my price? What am I worth to you? He was worth 30 pieces of silver to Judas. What's he worth to us? Well, as we read in 1 Peter 2:7, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Precious. Amen? Jesus is precious. And we're going to get to heaven and we're going to sing about how amazing he is, because he is precious. And let's look at that and we'll be done tonight. Revelation chapter 4. The price, the answer to the question should be priceless. Jesus Christ is worth everything. And so here in chapter 4, we find the 24 elders clothed in white robes singing about their redemption. And verse 10 of chapter 4, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And then down in verse 9, and they sung a new song, same 24 elders in the white robes, redeemed by the Lamb, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And verse 14, the four beasts and the amen and the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Give me my price, Jesus said. Judas said, 30 pieces of silver. The Pharisees said, 30 pieces of silver. We should say, he's precious. Amen? There is no limit to the devotion, to the obedience that Jesus is worth in our, from us. And that should be reflected in our daily behavior. Amen? Give me my price. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for this short prophecy and yet powerful and poignant prophecy about the betrayal of Judas. And Lord, may it just remind us that we're weak. Without you, we can do nothing. And that, Lord, your worth to us should be infinite. It should be in relation to how much you have forgiven us. Like the woman with the alabaster box, may we just not care because you're worth all of it. And Lord, may that be reflected in how we treat you and treat your word and treat your people. So thank you for speaking to our hearts through your precious word tonight. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us stand.